And God was so good to us at lunchtime today. Y'all may not believe this, but I had a nap. So I'll get you out by 12. Okay? I'm good and rested now. It's like starting over.
Amen.
And I think I got us out before 12 today, didn't I?
Right, yeah.
So I can go a little bit past 12 tonight, right? Is that okay with everybody?
Amen.
You ain't got nowhere to be. Listen, everybody in this room has either got a VCR or something like that. All your shows can be recorded.
Right.
And besides all that, they'll play them again.
Yeah.
It's raining outside. You like me, you don't want to mess up your hair. So just sit back and enjoy yourself.
Amen. Bless
you. Amen. Let's take our Bible service, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. As we look in the Word of God this evening, 2 Peter chapter 2, and if you'll look down at verse 1, the Bible says here, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." I want to preach to you tonight a message dealing with some things about these false prophets and false teachers, about how they do things, but I'll preach to you on the other side of it, that God is not done.
Amen.
God is not done.
Amen.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you, Lord God, that as of right now, we see that the rapture hadn't taken place. God, everything's still going according to your plan, and there's not a problem in this room that a believer has that rapture won't fix.
Right.
And I pray, God, tonight you'll help us. Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus, before I get through praying.
Amen.
I pray, God, that you'll bless this pastor, bless this church, these great people, this great man of God that's visiting with us tonight, and God, help us tonight, Lord God, to just understand your word.
Yes.
We pray your promise of Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wonders things out of thy law." I pray, God, you'll help us tonight. Help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight, I want you to look. He said there were false prophets and false teachers. He said they were among the people. So that literally tells me that somewhere, maybe amongst even this crowd, since I don't know you, I can make this statement. I don't know who you all are by name, but there may be one here tonight.
Rotten.
And I'm not just saying that because Brother Daniel showed up. I want to make that clear. I'm with this man of God like I am him. Amen. Just to let you know. Because sure as I don't say that, they'll say that other preacher showed up and he started on you. But it's like this. He said that these things, he said they're going to bring in something called damnable heresies.
Right.
That is literally not anything to do with Hershey's chocolate.
Right.
I heard old preacher calling damnable Hershey's. And I thought for years chocolate was bad for you. Amen. Just kidding. But anyway, he said they're heresies. A heresy is something that's taught from the Bible, but not of the Bible.
Right.
Okay? And that thing can be something. Listen, you ever seen that thing over where people say that Jesus is not a friend of sinners? You ever heard somebody say that? That's a damnable heresy, and I'm going to tell you why. There was a guy called the son of perdition in the New Testament named Judas Iscariot. I promise you, Jesus called him friend when he turned on him. "What doest thou, friend?"
Yeah.
That's the best friend a sinner can have, Jesus.
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
Listen, when the day you got saved, he called you a friend.
Right.
He got your attention.
Right.
And listen, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Yeah.
And that was him that day you got saved. He convicted you and showed you that, brought you to himself, and you got saved.
Right.
Now, notice he says in verse number 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." How could somebody that teaches something like that, if we got a Bible in our hand, deceive the very elect of God? It's very simple. If you spend more time on your television than you do in your Bible, you will find out that you will get deceived very quickly.
Amen.
I've also found out that it's not politically correct to preach what I'm fixing to say, but it's just right. If you spend more time on your computer on the internet, be it social media or websites, than you do in your Bible, then you will finally wind up with this crowd and start spreading their garbage.
Amen.
Down in South Carolina, where I live at, we have a trash pickup service, and I say thank God for them. Because if it was up to me to have put it in a truck and take it down there, we'd probably be piled up with it. I don't have a truck. But I know this, they come by and get the garbage. They don't leave none out there at the road. And you and I as believers shouldn't be leaving garbage everywhere either. We should find out what the Bible says and stick to the Word of God.
Amen.
And he says there about this, that many shall follow their pernicious ways. He said, by reason, by the way of whom truth is evil spoken of. There are people tonight who would try to say that what your Bible says is wrong. I got a question for all of them. They claim to be Christians. Even the cults do. Is Jesus Christ a liar? I'm asking you. I'm not going to tell you the answer. Is he a liar?
No.
And he said this in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, that we shall live by every word of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is not a liar. And when he said every word of God, I have access to it somewhere.
Amen.
There is not one doctrine that this church believes that can be discredited with a King James Bible.
Amen.
It's all here in the Bible.
Right.
It's of the Bible.
Right.
It's of the Lord. It's taught and it's very, very plain.
Amen.
It's not these difficult things people have a problem with. It's the simple things that get us.
Right.
I'll give you an example of a difficult thing. Boy, this thing run me through the ringer when it happened. I went over to where my pastor, when he's still alive, went to his church, showed up for a funeral. He said, go get your Bible. You help me with the funeral. Instant in season and out of season. So what'd you preach? Whatever it's going to fall open to that day. Amen. Listen. He said, now let's go pray. When I come back in the Bible, he walked in his classroom with no windows. He said, the Bible said God dwells in the thick darkness. Get a hold of God. And he flipped that switch off and fear came over me. I hadn't been afraid of the dark since I was a little kid. You couldn't see the hand in front of your face. All I could hear is him muttering and praying over on the other side of the room. So I got down and started muttering and praying too. But it's more like, Lord, I'm scared to death. I feel your presence in this room like I never have before.
Good.
That's a difficult thing to think about. Because when the Bible says in him is no darkness at all, but yet he dwells in the thick darkness, that's a complicated thing. But once you get a hold of it, it's like, I never knew that. Here's another difficult one. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 17, he tells them, or 16 over there, he says, there's some of you standing here that will not die until they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Yet the coming of the Son of Man, the first one had already passed and the second one hadn't got here. But yet Jesus Christ, who is not a liar, said that there's some standing there that wouldn't die till they saw it. Now, if I have my math correct, that was 2,000 years ago when he said that. I believe some of them folks died. In fact, all of them standing there when he said it died. Jesus don't lie. I had a problem with that for almost 15 years. I read the Bible. I believed it. I believe what he said was true. I did not understand that. That's very, very difficult. And then one day, because I read my Bible every day, I had a Bible reading plan. I got to that section, and I got to the end of that chapter. And the next chapter was the last chapter of the day. And it said in that next chapter, in Matthew chapter 17, he took them up the top of that mountain, and they saw his glory.
Yeah. Amen.
I thought, well, he wasn't talking about the rapture or the second coming. He said his glory.
Right.
And I got it.
Amen.
Y'all probably already knew that. I didn't know that.
That's good.
And I got a hold of that thing. It was a difficult thing. I couldn't figure it out. And I didn't try to explain it away by something I didn't know. I just waited on God to show it to me.
Right.
I knew it was true. I just didn't know how.
Amen.
See, there's things like that that are difficult. But then there are things that are way too simple that people in cults start going the opposite way with, and they teach something that's wrong. Why don't you look over at Jeremiah 31. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. He says to these people, they come in with feigned words. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says in verse 3 and 4 there, that they'll start resting in words and twisting theology left and right. But there are some dangerous doctrinal errors I want to deal with tonight to help you and help you in your walk with the Lord. First off, I want to say this. No matter where the twist is, everything past that twist is off.
Yeah.
Is that right? That's so at the creek by your house. If it's twisted up here, it ain't straight down here.
Right.
See, water goes the path of least resistance. You know what people do in cults? They go the path of least resistance.
Right.
Because if you disagree with them, son, they are your enemy number one. They'll call you a devil and everything else.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Jeremiah chapter 31, God, number one, is not done with the Jews. God is not done with the Jews. He says in verse 31, or chapter 31, verse 1, excuse me, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." In Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abraham, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee." That promise still stands.
Right.
He says in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, the people which are left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath peered of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God said, "I picked this people out. They're the least among all nations. They're not desired. They're not the prettiest. They're not the most wanted. In fact, everybody hates them." And he says of them, "They shall be my people." That has not changed. If you are in this room and you are born as a Jew, that does not make you born again. But God still has favor on that Jew.
Amen.
Listen, I mentioned something a while ago, and you said, "Oh, I don't get on Facebook, but just look at the news." Yeah, that's like that guy used to buy the 70-inch TV just to watch the Fox News. I don't believe that either. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever wondered where MySpace went, if you've ever wondered why Instagram can't take over, the guy that owns Facebook is a Jew,
right.
Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
He's only worth $63.2 billion as of when I looked it up today.
Wow.
Ain't that something? So why didn't the other guy's thing work? Well, I don't know. But when that Jew come along, done it, God gave him money over it. You say, "But that man's lost." Exactly. It's one of the things that's difficult to understand, but it's still true.
Right.
I met a car salesman one time. He come up to me and said, "I want to sell you a Cadillac." I said, "You do not want to sell me a Cadillac." He said, "But preachers drive Cadillacs." I said, "This one don't. Cadillacs don't get 31 miles to the gallon. If you got one you can pay for it, bless your heart. I'm all for you. But listen, when you're short like I am, a little Honda fits you better than a big car does." Amen. All you tall people, get your heads up and look back up here. You listen. Listen, short people, listen. Short people never die. Go down to Goodwill. You'll believe that. Short fat people never die. There's never short fat clothes in the Goodwill. It's always you tall people, thin people. But I notice this thing here, that God said he's not done with that Jew, that he's still blessing them secularly, even though he's not blessing them spiritually. Why is he not blessing them spiritually anymore? Well, they got away from him, and just like he told them, "I'll keep this thing yours, but if you quit following me and keeping my commandments, I'll take it away and scatter you." They're currently scattered.
Yeah.
And if you look over chapter 30, he says, "There's going to come a time I'm going to get that Jew right." He says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it."
Yeah.
Jacob's trouble is the Old Testament term for the 7-year great tribulation, that when the church is raptured out of here until the time Christ comes, God turns back to that Jew during that time.
Sure.
Tell all your Jehovah's Witness friends that the book of Revelation says there won't be a Jehovah's Witness crowd in that 144,000,
right.
That they're all going to be male Jewish virgins,
right.
According to this Bible.
Right.
So where are they? I don't know, and I won't be here to find out, but God will have them set aside, and when the rapture takes place, he's going to put every one of them in the ministry and save them. Why is he going to do that? It's the time of Jacob's trouble. They won't listen to you. They'll listen to another Jew, though.
Right.
How come you think Paul was such a success as the apostle to the, and he'd go into town, he didn't go into town and start the Gentile church. He went to the synagogue for 3 straight weeks and reasoned in the synagogue. How do you think they let him in? He's a Jew. They said, we heard Paul's of that other crowd. Yeah, but he's still a Jew. It's like you go down to this reservation down here and you tell them, yeah, listen, if you come in, you say, well, I'm part Cherokee. They're going to laugh you right back off the reservation. But if you come in and your name is on one of them 4 rolls down there, you know what they're going to do? You can get signed up and get a check. Everybody's wondering if their grandma really is an Indian, ain't they? Let me tell you something. If you ever run into them people, don't tell them that. I had one of them tell me, brother, and I'm telling this, I hope they don't get mad at me telling this. I'm going to tell you something. Them Indians down there don't appreciate you white people going there and telling them, well, my grandma was a Cherokee.
Yeah.
You know why? That makes all their grandmas and grandpas sound like as adulterers. Would you like it if I called your grandma one? You wouldn't, would you? So why call their grandma one?
It's good.
I know half of you think you're part Cherokee, but you're not. You're an old Gentile just like all the rest of us. There's 2 letters go before your race. They are Y and T. Y-T, that's you, okay? That's who you are. Don't live in denial. And if you was a Cherokee, you'd already be getting a check. Amen, friend. Amen. Now, don't you notice something? God's not done with that Jew.
Right.
He's not done with them. He said there's coming a time when there's going to be Jacob's trouble. So God's not done with them. When the false religions of the world have got into Christianity and started prying and trying to get the doctrinal things we believe out of the Bible and twist them to their own upbringing and money gathering, we found out something. The first crowd that tried this was the Catholics. In 400 AD or somewhere thereabouts, that century there was a guy came along and realized Rome was losing their military power. He decided, since they were losing their military power, he saw a bunch of superstition in people and thought, you know, if I just tell them God told me, I can start my own religion and we can switch out of the military robes and put on religious robes and they'll know none the difference. And they did that. Catholic Church didn't start with Peter. Peter wasn't a Catholic. If he was, he is the most miserable man I've ever seen in my life. He had a mother-in-law and no wife. Now you figure out how that would be for you. But they started that outfit in the 5th century there. And when they took over the world, from there until the 1500s, that was known as one thing. The Dark Ages.
Right.
You military guys that's been in foreign countries, you tell me where that crowd's the number one outfit in the country. That's a third world country. They can't get jobs there. They are held by the throat by their leaders. And their leaders are not preached against by that very outfit. You may have heard the name Hitler. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Catholic. Mussolini, Catholic. Guess where they was getting their money from? Old Papa in Rome was funding their outfit.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
I know half of you sympathetic, but let me tell you something. That crowd has always killed Bible believers.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, when they go back and they talk about the Inquisitions, they don't want to tell you who the Inquisitor was. Say, what's that? It's Roman Catholic soul winning. They put a knife to your throat and say, do you accept the Pope as God? And you say no, they slice your throat.
Amen.
And they think you're rough of soul winning. Listen to me. That crowd has tried to replace that Jew by taking all the Old Testament promises, including that of an Aaronic priesthood, and bring it to a church and say, we're now that priesthood. Here's the problem. There's a New Testament that says, don't trust a crowd that tries to do away with your meats on Friday.
Yeah.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And he tells them this, that the pastor must be the husband of one wife. That knocks out every sodomite lesbian in this world, and it knocks out every single preacher that's taken a vow of celibacy. You heard what happened to them, didn't you? They finally found some old Hebrew manuscripts, and the monks got to looking through them. All of a sudden, one started crying. He showed the next one. He started crying, and they all were sitting there crying. He said, and the one come up and said, "What's going on?" He said, "It says celebrate, not celibate." They said, "We've had it wrong all these years." Listen to me. They try to take the promise of the Jew and make it to the Gentile church, and thus they hate the Jew and want the Jew done away with. Listen to this one. In the Reformation time of the 1500s, a German by the name of Martin Luther come along. He read the Bible and got saved. He found out that the book of Romans had the plan of salvation in it. And I think I forget where it was he was reading, but when he got saved, he got so saved that he went out and nailed 95 theses on the door of the Catholic Church over there on October 31st of 1492, I believe it was. He goes in there and tells them that the Pope is a devil. He tells them that the Antichrist is probably the Pope. And by the way, in the front of your King James Bible, if you got that document, the translators to the readers, they believe the exact same thing. And you go through there and he told them people, he said, "You're wrong for doing this." He inspired people all over Europe. One in particular, a guy by the name of John Calvin, come along as one of the reformers. However, Mr. Calvin erred greatly in his theology when he said that the church replaced the Jew. And when we look at that thing, listen, no matter where the thing's twisted at, it's crooked down the road. Every one of those reformers brought out a piece of that Catholic Church with them, and it was twisted when they brought it out, and it twisted them somewhere later on. God's not done with that Jew. Can I tell you a story? You'll love this. I like football, and I don't like the NFL right now. I've not boycotted them. I just can't stand to watch something. I won't bow to that flag right there. I can't take that. I've had all my relatives served in the Army and all in World War II, World War I. I can't take it. I even had somebody serve in the Civil War on the right side of the team. The gray boy, sir. And I've watched this thing in college football. Anything can happen in college football. And here a while back, there was this man. He got out there on the field at Michigan in the greatest upset in college football history. Kid goes out there on the field, Michigan top-ranked team. Here's your little Appalachian State going up there to play them. You know why they schedule people like that? So they can beat the devil out of them. It's like a little workout for them. But somebody forgot to tell Appalachian State that was workout day for the other team. They got down to the very end of the game. The kicker got out there, nailed it, and won the game. I remember watching it on ESPN. And I remember seeing that thing, and I thought, that's incredible. That wasn't even the game of the week. But it came the game of the century. How about that? There's a guy that I have in to preach named Dr. Bill Grady. He wrote a book on Israel. And in that book, he's telling all these wonderful facts. And I want to leave you with one of them and just blow your mind. Do you know where the biggest, tallest statue of Elvis Presley is? It's in Tel Aviv, Israel, of all places. Isn't that something? Cuba's got John Lennon, but the motherland over there's got Elvis, amen. Listen, I sat there and I read through this book looking at them pictures. And while he was there, me and him and Brother Red from our church went up to Gastonia, North Carolina, to this old-time country barbecue place. What do Jews not eat? We walk into that place, and we're there, and this old man walks by, and he says, "How you doing, fellas?" And I thought, Lord, he's a Yankee like Bill. Because Bill talks the same way. Use guys, you know, and all this. I'd have him in just to listen to him talk. We go in there, that guy's sitting there, our wives get there, we go sit down, and here comes this that old dude with a cane. "You guys mind if I sit with you?" I pulled him up a chair beside me. I said, "Help yourself." He sits down there. Him and Bill get to going back and forth. They're both from the New York area, city. They're telling, listen, brother, New Jersey, they're telling Jew jokes and Polack jokes and all. I've never heard such in my life. And the funny thing was, that guy's a Jew.
Yeah.
And when I asked him his name, he said, "You don't know who I am?" I said, "I don't know who you are. I'm from South Carolina." He's only the first Jewish senator your state's ever elected.
Wow.
State senator. He's the only guy I know personally that has a stretch of road named after him down there in North Carolina, right here up 85 over there. And he says, "Let me tell you a story." I said, "Please tell me a story." That man begins to tell me about his grandson. He's in business with him now, loves his grandson. And he gave me this book and told me the story of that book. It was about team playing and how to be a team player that he wrote. It's his biography. And he gave me a second book. That book was about the Appalachian State team beating Michigan. And that guy's grandkid was the kicker that put that field goal through the uprights. So is he a Jew? He's a converted Baptist now. The grandson is. I don't suppose he got that down here somewhere, do you? But isn't it just like God to take that guy, move him all the way down here, and one of his offspring, a Jew, be the guy that upset the big bad Michigan Wolverines?
Wow.
He that sits in the heavens shall laugh at their derision. They're saying God's done with the Jew, and he's still blessing them secularly.
Sure.
Ain't that something? How many Gentiles can claim they beat Michigan when they were a little school like Appalachian State going to try to fight them, huh? None. Isn't it something that God would put us right there with that guy and we give him gospel tracts and talk to him about Jesus and him a multimillionaire and we didn't even know it, didn't care, just was trying to witness to the man. And then it hit me. What's this Jew doing in a barbecue place? We're sitting there and finally he looks over and says, "Hey, Judge, happy Hanukkah." This other guy over here is a judge. He's a Jew. He's a Jew and was there on Hanukkah Day. I didn't even know that. I thought, now ain't it just like God to work something like this out? Hey, listen, God's not done with that Jew.
Right.
Listen, at the time of the rapture, he's going to take this church out of the way, and he's going to turn his sole attention back to them.
Sure.
And he's going to correct his physical children. Amen.
Amen.
And like I said, they won't be a Jehovah's Witness in the entire crowd.
Right.
Secondly, I want to say this tonight. God is not only not done with the Jew, but he's also not done with Jesus. There have been attempt after attempt after attempt to replace Jesus in this world.
Yeah.
There are fake Christs everywhere.
Sure.
Everybody, listen, that comes along claiming the name of Christ, there's fake Christians, but there's fake Messiahs everywhere.
Right.
I remember back in the 1980s, Geraldo did a report on Charles Manson. He said he was Jesus Christ. Swastika right here, carved in his forehead with a knife. He told Rivera if he didn't shut his mouth, he'd have his head cut off and mailed to him. I said, man, even in prison, they don't straighten up, do they? You just get crazy and learn how to be a beer con sometimes. Thank God for prison ministries. Go in there and preach to them guys. Because
yeah.
The way the state does it is not working.
Right.
But I see that God is not done with Jesus because when Jesus was born, he was born of a virgin. He's God in the flesh. Lived a sinless life, didn't even have the capability of sin in him, died an atoning death on the cross that they've been singing about tonight, and rose again the third day.
Amen.
And when he, the last thing he said before he ascended into the clouds, "I will come again."
Right.
And ever since Jesus has said that, the devil and his crowd of false prophets and false teachers have tried to discredit him and say he's not coming back. The latest attack on this thing, if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is a crowd of people that are going around trying to say that there is no rapture of the church. I got news for them. They're going to miss it, but there's still going to be one.
Yeah.
Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, down at verse 13. This is what God says in his word. "But I would not have you to be ignorant." Do y'all know what ignorant means? That means you don't know, but you can learn. I'm ignorant of how to work on the digital systems of a car. But it's possible I could go to college and learn all that, right?
Right.
I liked it better when the tires had five lugs and you had a carburetor and all that stuff. I like that better. Now, if you got to program a computer up to it, you got to go buy a computer that's coming out tomorrow to be able to figure out what's wrong with the old car there.
Yeah.
That's something, ain't it? Technology is moving fast. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's talking about people that's died and went on that are believers. Somebody had come along and told this church that if they was dead, that was it. They was in soul sleep and is never getting up. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. He said this, for if we believe that Jesus died, do we believe that?
Amen.
And rose again.
Amen.
He said, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They're not in the graveyard sleeping. They're in heaven with him to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And he says, therefore, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I read one time that when you die, when you go to the funeral home, if you're just unconscious, you will be dead when you leave there. In the 1900s, early 1900s, all the funeral directors lobbied Congress. There's a law now. If you go through that way, listen, they're going to take your blood out of you.
Yeah.
That will make sure you're dead. So if you ain't dead when you get there, you will be when you leave. Have no fear, though. God's still in control.
Amen.
He ain't never lost one on the embalming table, by the way. But he said that, when you go there, they're going to embalm your body. They're going to make you up, make you look like you're 20 years younger, stick you in a box that when they seal it, it can't be pried open with a pry bar. They're going to put you in the ground in a vault, and that vault's heavy itself. They're going to put a thing on top of it and seal it. In other words, you are not just coming out of there.
Right.
But they didn't put that to keep you from coming out. They put that so others couldn't get in.
Right.
Okay? If you ever wonder why there's dumb laws, somebody done something stupid. Okay? But while I look at this thing, he said the ones that's asleep in Jesus won't be prevented. Their body will be changed into a glorified body. Their spirit's coming back with Jesus. And when that happens, that body's coming up incorruptible.
Amen.
It'll pass through the casket. It'll pass through the vault. Pass through the dirt, the mausoleum, whatever you in. And if you get yourself cremated, all the ashes are coming back together into the form of a glorified human body.
Amen.
That's going to have no corruption with it. It's going to be incorruptible. It's going to meet the soul in the air.
Amen.
Amen.
At the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now notice this. He says, verse 16, this is why it's going to happen. For the Lord himself.
Right. Amen.
See that? He shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's in the throne room of God right now at the right hand of God. He's going to descend from heaven, and he's going to give us a shout, and we're out of here.
Right. Amen.
That's not the second coming of our Lord. That's the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 down to 58, rapture of the church.
Yeah.
Every cult fails to know what to do with those two passages of Scripture, and they make Matthew 24 with replacement theology, and they jam those things together and say, there is no rapture. You are deceived.
Right.
The devil's got you. He's corrupted your mind. But God said, I still wouldn't have to be ignorant. I'll let you know what I'm saying right here.
Amen.
I had a fella tell me just recently that I was on the side of the table with Paul, and he is on the side of the table with Jesus and Ezekiel and all this other crowd. As far as I can tell, Ezekiel's been in heaven quite a while.
Yeah.
Oh, and this just in, John talked about it too.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. In Revelation chapter 1, after he covers this right here about the rapture of the church, why don't you go to Revelation chapter 1. God's not done with Jesus.
Amen.
If you're chasing prophecy, you're chasing the wrong animal. And plus, I have found out in the last 23 years by talking to people and listening to them that the reason people stay on prophecy and study prophecy is most times they're lost. And they're wanting to find out what to do if that rapture takes place.
Wow.
They're prepared just in case.
Yeah.
They've got hundreds of drums of 55 gallons of water and dried food put up just in case.
Yeah.
And they say that what we have is a deserter's theology. So we're going to leave when the fighting starts. Perhaps they don't know the end times like they thought they did. Because all this trouble that's going on right now, when the church is out of here, and the Bible said that he's going to take the Holy Spirit who now letteth, when he pulls him out of the way, guess what happens? You'll never believe this. The Antichrist shows up and it's peace on earth.
Yeah.
And they're going to think he's God. The UN's going to say you can run this. The Catholic Church is going to say you can run this. The United States, Russia, they're going to say, you're our world leader. You are just the man we've been looking for.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm glad to do it, boys, but if you're going to pledge allegiance to me, you got to have a little something here, a little something here.
Right.
And conveniently, there's a tattoo parlor located in a location near you to get you one.
Yeah.
So I believe it's a microchip. You can believe what you want to believe. This Bible says it's a mark.
Right. Anybody?
Ain't that something? He's going to mark all his.
Right.
Because he's a copycat, because God's already marked his.
Yeah.
He marked us, not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He sealed us into the day of redemption.
Amen.
The devil may sweep through here tonight and mess with every one of you, but he still knows which one of you belongs to God.
Right.
Amen.
God's not done with Jesus.
Good.
It's not prophecy God wants you to study. It's the Lord Jesus he wants you to study.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. In the rapture and in the second coming both, listen to me, there will be clouds that day.
Right.
But I got good news for you. Every day on planet Earth since the time of the flood, there's been clouds every day somewhere. How about that?
Yeah.
No matter what time zone you're in, if there's not clouds in your time zone, there's 23 others and one of them has clouds.
Right.
So you don't believe me? Go watch Star Trek. When they pull up the Earth and show you the thing, when they're circling around, it'll show you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Or get you a weather app. One of them, you can see the weather everywhere. You're going to find there's a big green splotch everywhere somewhere on this Earth.
Right.
Clouds. A fella told me that the word clouds in the Greek, listen to this, meant people of witness and not puffy white things. I said, dear brother, thank God Almighty, we don't have to use the Greek. But that's not the definition it gives there. But my question is this, did Jesus lie, or is we got every word of God?
Amen.
And we got access to it somewhere. So we can have one written final authority that'll define clouds. And we can go as far back as Genesis and all the way to Revelation, except for a few handful of times where clouds mean anything other than clouds.
Right.
Now listen to this. Clouds are associated with God. He said in the wilderness, he said, boys, it's going to be hot in that wilderness for the next 40 years, but I'm going to be your pillar of cloud by day.
Right.
And your fiery cloud by night.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? He takes care of his people.
Sure.
And he associated himself with those clouds so much, he said, I'm going to come back and split one of them. So where will that cloud be? I have no idea, but I know it'll be circling planet Earth somewhere, and the king's coming to part it like your hair.
Right.
Listen, he said, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That's the second coming of Christ. That's 7 years after the rapture of the church. He shows up, and he shows up in the second coming, and he's fixing to get business in order.
Yeah.
The millennial reign will start. He'll put you to work as a king and a priest somewhere on this planet. You ain't never wore no crown? Well, you won't then either, because you'll cast that at his feet and then serve him wherever he says.
Yeah. Amen.
As his kingly priest.
Right.
Or priestly king, however you want to go with that.
Yeah.
But I look at that thing and I say, man, that's something. I look down at verse 17. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
Amen.
You and I have nothing to fear.
Right.
Hey, these bunch that says this is a deserter's theology. As soon as the rapture happens, there'll be peace on earth and there'll be no fighting.
Right.
3.5 years of peace. Then the Antichrist goes over to Jerusalem. He breaks the covenant with them, the abomination of desolation. And then he turns his back on the Jews that have accepted him. Because he hates the Jew. Because he knows God's not done with the Jews.
Right.
And he knows God's not done with Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's getting his armies together for 3.5 years and trying to conquer the world military style. Why? He knows the king's coming.
Right.
He knows the king has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he knows when he shows up, he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
He's going to have a vesture dipped in blood that's going to say the thing on his thigh. He's coming in on a white horse.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, there's another white horse rider in Revelation before that. Who is that? The devil.
Yeah.
He's a copycat.
Right.
He says he's the Christ. If Jesus is riding a white horse, he rides one. If Jesus has a Bible, he'll have many Bibles. If Jesus has a church, he'll have many churches.
Yeah.
Copycat.
Right.
But then I find out something. I turn to Revelation chapter 2. If you look over here, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the strangest thing happens here. Out of the blue, he starts off saying, right to these seven churches. He starts off with Ephesus. He goes down through Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I mentioned this morning, if you go to a map, they go like this in order. It's as if somebody was standing in the middle of that thing and said, right to Ephesus, right to this one, this one, this one, this one, and Laodicea. And I find the words that he's in the midst in Revelation chapter 1 of them seven churches.
Right.
Now, what about that? When you find it on the map, there's a spot for him to stand.
Yeah.
That's that book of maps I told you about. It's the back of your Bible. Listen, I look at that thing and I see this and I see something happening here. If I was a first century Christian, I'd know where Ephesus was. I know that's the church that Paul wrote the letter to over there. This is a literal church, literal place.
Right.
And all the rest of them were. You can find them on the map. But 2,000 years have passed. I know this book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. And chapter 2 and chapter 3 prophetically show seven church ages.
Right.
From 30 AD to 100 AD, that's Ephesus. They lost their first love. And then we go down to Smyrna, and they started persecuting Christians there. That lasted from AD 100 to AD 13, or 313. And then the church of Pergamos, they went through the thing from 500 on down. We've got the church of Thyatira. We've got all, and all of them line up with church history. You'll never guess which one we're in. We're the last one. So how do you know? If I ask you, do you need anything tonight? You know what your answer is going to be? You're pre-programmed. I don't need nothing. You know why? You haven't figured out yet. You're poor, wretched, miserable, and blind. That's what he says in Revelation chapter 3 about that church. We have need of nothing. We've got carpeted floors. We've got padded pews. We've got air conditioning for the summer, heat for the winter. We don't need anything. Is that us?
Go ahead.
We've got cars, we've got houses, we've got loaf bread that we don't have to bake ourselves. We've got everything. Is that us?
Yep.
And he says that crowd is lukewarm.
Yeah, right.
So how do you know they're lukewarm? Well, here's how it works out. Go find all your Christian friends and find out where they're going to be tomorrow night, this in driving distance of this, and ask them to come.
Yeah.
You'll find out what lukewarm is. There's a ball game coming on.
Yeah.
The basketball playoffs are starting.
Yeah.
You name it, there'll be something going on.
Right.
And listen, with all that going on, if you look over at chapter 4, at the very end of the church age, this is what happens. John, prophetically again. This part hadn't happened yet. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Boy, if that thing of a trumpet don't jump out at you, I don't know what does.
Right.
You won't find a trumpet playing in 1 Thessalonians 4. But you hear about a trump.
Yeah.
You go to 1 Corinthians 15, it mentions a trump. I've never played one of them things, but I went and looked this up, so I'll tell you right. A trumpet is an object that you blow into that makes a sound. Would you believe that sound's a trump? Isn't that something? How'd God know that when probably things wasn't even really widespread and invented back then? It's like God knows things, don't you?
Yeah.
And what we got is, Brother Jeremy, if you'll stand up right there.
Come here, brother. I want you too tall. Sit back down. I mean, you way too tall. That's more like it. Don't ever grow up, okay? Here's the Apostle Paul. There's the Apostle John. Okay? I'm going to be time. Okay? As time moves along, Isaiah said there's a second coming going to happen. Jeremiah said there's a time of Jacob's trouble. All those minor prophets said God's coming back. We get to here, and Paul hears way over there a trumpet. It's trumping.
Yeah.
Okay? Time moves on. This is 50 AD.
90 AD, here's John. Come up hither. He hears it right up front. A voice has it. We're a trumpet talking.
It's good.
Don't wait for no angel to blow no horn. We're waiting for the voice of our Lord.
Right.
That's who spoke to John, Revelation chapter 4.
Amen.
Thank you, son. Thank you.
Amen.
Listen.
Good.
John said, that's the voice.
Yeah.
And this same John, prior to that, said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah. Right.
And I know them. Hey, listen. We're not waiting for an angel to do anything. We're waiting for a master's call.
Amen. Right. Amen.
If you check out of your body tonight, if you say, it's going to be because he calls you out of here.
Right.
If the church takes off and leaves everybody behind, it's going to be because he calls his people out.
Amen.
God's not done with
That's
Jesus.
Good.
Amen.
That's good.
He's not done with Jesus.
Amen.
He's the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Let me help you out with some theological assessments right quickly. Number one, Jesus is not an office.
Right.
He's not a manifestation of a presence. He's God in the flesh.
Amen.
Sure.
If you take your fingerprint tonight and you put that thing down, you won't be able to see that thing. But the police can come in here and they'll dust that thing and get every ridge and everything about it, and they'll come to the conclusion when they take that thing that they can test everybody's room. And you can say, it's not mine all you want to. Eventually they're going to find out the thing belongs to you.
Right.
And when they do, they're going to narrow it down and explain to you. You're going to go to court and say, I didn't do nothing. Strange world we live in. We got prisons full of I didn't do nothings.
Yeah.
And they're going to look at that and they're going to say, but see, the fingerprint's a unique thing. It's only left by an individual.
Right.
We can trace it back to that individual.
Amen.
God has a fingerprint.
Sure.
Right there it is. Free.
Yeah.
Amen.
He put his fingerprint all over this universe.
Amen.
Yeah.
There are three heavens. The one we're breathing right now, that and where the Millennium Falcon travels, and the throne room of God.
Right.
So I don't believe in the Falcon. That's your problem. Okay?
Amen.
But it said it was a long time ago. What it said at the beginning of everything was a long time ago. Now listen. God's fingerprint number three, there's only three sunlight rays that hit you. Two of them are not seen. One of them's seen and not felt. One's felt and not seen. One's felt and seen. That corresponds with the person of God. You've never, ever seen the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
I don't care what the TV preacher said, you've never seen him.
Right.
But you felt him.
Right.
You've never seen God the Father. You neither felt him nor seen him. And when God the Son was here, they seen him but couldn't feel him.
Yeah.
Wow. That corresponds to all three rays of the sun.
Yeah. It's good.
You know what we're fixing to have tomorrow? Bless your heart, isn't it? Let's all pray tonight fast that God will hold that stuff off. I don't know how to drive in. My wife's going to get saved three times coming up the road tomorrow. Here's how it works. We're going to have that again. It's not going to be like tonight. It's going to be a thicker substance, correct? Do you know that water out there only comes in three forms? And it's made up of three things?
Yeah.
Who created that water? Oh, I don't know. Listen to this. That water is made up of two parts of one thing and one part of another.
Yeah.
God the Father, God the Holy Spirit is spirit, Jesus Christ is flesh.
Yeah.
H2O.
Wow.
But wait, there's more. When you take that H2O and you set it in your refrigerator, it becomes a solid. Right? If you take it out there and put it in your boiling pan in there, it becomes a liquid, then a vapor.
Right.
If you get a piece of that ice and you get a piece of that steam and you get a piece of that water, they all have H2O in them.
Exactly.
The simplest breath.
Right.
Wow. I sure wonder who put their fingerprint on that thing.
Right. That's good.
You know that when God created Adam, he created him in his image. Adam didn't look like God. And I figured this out, and we don't look like God. This is good here. You know why? Because if God looked like me, I mean, he didn't have no hair. Then he couldn't look like you. Wouldn't that be sad? You'd have a bald, fat, short God. That'd be sad. But God created man, Adam, not men, in his own image. He birthed Adam into this world by just picking up some dust and blowing it.
Yeah.
And Adam, like like that was made in three parts, body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
Wonder who did that. Wonder who can't explain why mankind can't get along with everybody. Anybody who denies that fingerprint, and here's why. When man fell into sin in Genesis chapter 3, death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. But Adam didn't die in that chapter. But something died. The third part of man, that spirit, died that very instant.
Right. Yeah.
Now he can't talk to God. Now he's going to hell.
Yeah.
And get this. He started having children, and they started having children, and they started having children, and here you are. You're born in this world,
yeah,
and you weren't created in the image of God. You're created in the image of your father, Adam.
Amen.
He's born with a body, and it will die.
Yeah.
Get all the plastic surgery you want to, fix her up real nice. But one day it's going to quit doing what it's doing.
Right.
And that thing's going to drop whether you wish for it or pray for it or whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody in here. You might as well go to the funeral home and buy them while they're cheap. Because if you die and need one, the price just went up. That soul inside you, that's the real you. When the Titanic sank, the New York Times said how many souls died in that thing. It didn't give a body count, it said souls. Even the secular world knows that. They took a body one time, and a man was dying. They put him on the scale, and he died 4 ounces left his body. They can't explain that. They said that must be the weight of his soul. I don't know. But I know this, when that thing quits, that soul's gone.
Right, yeah.
You ain't got to worry about waking up in the morgue. You won't wake up down there. You're gone.
Right.
If you are really dead, you will be gone. You won't see a tunnel of light. You won't come back and say, Jesus told me to tell you this. None of that stuff.
Right.
But when that soul leaves, it goes to be wherever it's going to be forever. That spirit that's inside you is dead. That's why you don't like me. That's why you don't like that preacher. That's why you don't like this preacher. That's why you don't like your Bible. You don't like church. You don't like none of that stuff. It's boring. It's just out of the question. You ain't going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know why? You got death inside you.
You're right. It's good, preacher.
Yeah.
I ain't dead, preacher. You're telling me I'm dead. I just told you. You tell you again? And see, listen. When God saves a sinner, that's the part that gets born again.
Yeah.
And then God puts his spirit in there, so now he can communicate with you. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden that thing that's been broken, that line of communication, God restored it.
Amen.
But he restored it in Jesus Christ, not religion.
Right.
Everybody's religious. I met a Japanese man. He was religious. I said, who do you think's God? He said, there's only one God. A Buddhist that only believes in one God. I met a Muslim man. He sold suits. I said, do you believe in God? He said, I believe in God. I ran into this Mexican man of all places, a Mexican restaurant. Go in there and talk to him. He believes in one God. Then I come out here, and if I ask you, is there one God? You'll say, there's one God. But from the one guy to the next guy to the next guy to the next guy to this crowd, we're not all talking about the same God.
Right.
See, that Buddhist believes, get this, that fat thing they put fruit up there in front of, that's his prophet. Do you know that Buddha died skinny and in hunger?
Wow.
There's a grave with his name on it.
Yeah.
The Muslim, his God, I get in all kinds of trouble for this. I was in prison preaching and said, there's no prophet but the Lord Jesus Christ, he's God's prophet, priest, and king, and Allah is no God. Guy stood in the back row and said, you won't say that again. He said, I'll kill you. I'm 26 years old, I know everything, and I'm still healthy. I said, bury me beside the rest of them, you kill. And he said, okay, and there he comes. So what'd you do? I was paralyzed in fear, because just don't know, I'm preaching in prison, in a maximum security prison. Here's a murderer coming to me, going to put me with the others he's killed. And I thought, how stupid to say that. I don't say that in prison no more. I don't even bring it up. Thank God for saved convicts. There's 30 of them piled out of them pews on top of him till the guards got there to get him. I have never been so glad for saved convicts in my life. Don't ever say that in prison. That's dumb. Learn from my mistake. Don't do it. Because you might be in there with a bunch of lost convicts and they won't help you. But that guy he calls a prophet was a child molester pervert, Muhammad.
Yeah.
He married 6-year-old and 11-year-old girls.
Right. Yeah.
That ain't God.
Right.
But that God of the Bible, he saw your lost condition.
Yeah.
Saw you couldn't communicate with him, so he communicated with you.
Right.
Look at your Bibles in John chapter 6. Look at verse 44. You couldn't get to him. He said, I found God. You didn't find God. He was never lost.
Right.
Luke 19:10 says he comes to seek and save that which is lost. He wasn't lost. You were.
Amen.
John 6:44, it starts off with a phrase that will kill your pride. No man.
Yeah.
No man. Is that what your Bible says? No man. No man. None. Nobody's looking for him. Let's have a word of testimony. Somebody says, I found God. You didn't find God.
Right.
He said, no man. No man what? What's the next thing? Wait a minute. No man can come to me. Sounds like salvation is an exclusive deal. There's only one way to it.
Right.
Right.
Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You didn't get saved on your terms.
Right.
You got saved on his.
Amen.
God didn't have a bunch of deals laid out there. He has one.
Sure.
He's not the Price is Right. He's a holy God that says, I sent my son Jesus to die for your sins and shed his precious blood on your sins.
Yeah.
Because you could not save yourself, he provided you with the very thing you need.
Right.
A Savior. God's not done with Jesus.
Amen.
I don't care if it's Adam in the dispensation of innocence, if it's Abraham in the dispensation of the patriarchs, if it's Moses under the law, if it's Apostle Paul under the church age, or somebody in the millennium, God still has the same plan of salvation.
Right.
That's right.
It's Jesus.
Amen.
Right.
All these twisted theologians are saying, well, there's 10 plans of salvation. God's never offered but one.
Right.
Ooh, preacher, I know. Back in Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross. No, they didn't even know what it was. They wasn't invented yet.
Amen.
But they didn't know what a Lamb of God was.
Amen. Yeah.
And they look forward to him coming.
Sure.
They didn't understand all that, but they knew that's who the Savior was.
Right.
You and I look back on it, that Lamb of God was put on the cross and crucified for our sins. So how'd you find out about it? Somebody drew me to himself.
Yeah.
According to John chapter 12, I had to be around somebody that's lifting up Jesus.
Amen.
And he done all the drawing.
Right, yeah.
So where was you at when you got saved? Ronald McDonald's house. Why do you think I like McDonald's so much? Listen, I ran out of churches just like this one, like some of you going to try to run out of here tonight.
Right.
So you ain't got me, preacher. I was baptized. I baptized and everybody's in the South. You baptized? You baptized? You? See, everybody's baptized. You baptized? See, everybody's baptized. Now, if we got into the breakdown of it, we could have a Methodist, a Jew, and a Jehovah's Witness saying they're all baptized, but everybody's baptized, okay? Whether you sprinkle or dunk, you baptize. Somebody's baptized you. But here's the question. Have you been born again?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
People's in hell by the droves been baptized.
Yeah.
But there's nobody in hell's been born again.
Amen. Amen.
Because the king got lifted up.
Yeah, amen.
Somebody, he drew you into himself by a spirit of power. And under conviction, you thought you was worse than that crackhead I mentioned this morning.
Yeah.
And you saw yourself as a sinner.
Oh, yeah.
And you come to the only place salvation was offered.
Right.
And that was in God's deal. He ain't done with Jesus.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. God done with you? Is God done with you? So how would I know? You wouldn't be so bothered right now if he was done with you.
Yeah.
See, it troubles people. In all my years, I never heard this happen nowhere else. But in Lawrence, South Carolina, my pastor told me what his dad was pastoring down there years ago. Y'all have heard of J. Harold Smith up here? He's preaching in Lawrence. And he come out of that pulpit one night and said, "Unless there's some funerals, God ain't going to do nothing to you people," and walked out the building. That night, a deck gave way and six people sitting in the church, kids, died. By Tuesday afternoon, they had to take out the first five, six rows of pews to get off the caskets in there and have a funeral at that church. That revival lasted probably 2 months after that.
Wow.
God got everybody's attention.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, listen. 1,000 times over, I wish I'd been sitting in the church and then played Just As I Am and walked down the aisle and got saved. I wish that's the way it happened. I wish I could tell you that. But just like that other dumb thing I did, you learn from it and don't do it. Don't do what I did. Every time God dealt with me, I walked out.
Yeah.
I sat through more verses of Just As I Am than Elvis has sang Amazing Grace on your tape player. Okay? I walked out on God every time. So why do you say Ronald McDonald House? Because God knows no boundaries.
Right, yeah.
He dealt with my sin from Sunday, April 4th, 1994, to April 7th, 1994 on that Thursday. That's why I stood up this morning.
Amen.
It was on a Thursday.
Yeah.
11:45 p.m. I've been under conviction so much I still smoke. I smoke a pack of cigarettes in 4 hours at night. So.
Yeah.
They wasn't a nerve pill in the world, man. They wasn't a bag of dope or a bottle of liquor big enough. But when he saved me, that was it.
Amen.
He saved me.
That's right.
He saved me out of all my sins. He forgave me of all of them. And he'll do the same for anybody here.
Right.
Do you know that God has no favorites?
Right.
His deal is Jesus. And his deal is on his terms.
Sure.
He draws. You say, "I'll wait until next time." You may not have it next time.
Right.
You may not have it next time. I wouldn't live on a curved road like this lost. Because every time I drive by these farmhouses, I saw one that was caved in right down here. Is somebody on that in here? I thought, Lord God, probably some driver, I won't say what kind, but they drove off the road right there and just fell right in the middle of that old house. That's what it looks like. Like a scene right out of a movie. It probably just fell in, but don't ruin my story. I look at that and I think, every time I go in the roads. You ever heard of I-85? That thing is a death trap. They said, "We're going to widen it to six lanes." That won't fix it. They die in the line every day with eight.
Right.
You ever seen somebody die on the highway in front of you? Scary stuff. You know what? That could be you. Yeah. So I got you there, preacher. I don't drive. Well, you never had any drunk drivers sitting in jail that was driving and killed somebody in the car that was a passenger.
Right.
You can't control everybody.
Right.
Here's what you can control. While God's speaking to your heart, while the Holy Ghost is showing you that your sins were for everybody else, you can get born again because God is not done with Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.